It's Radio Ghana.
Good evening to you, and you're welcome to Behind the News. My name is Agatha Samuel, and tonight, GlassAct suspends nationwide strike with immediate effect. What went into the decision to go back to work? Boko shootings, offenders still on the run. Upper East Regional Minister and his team on the ground to assess security situation in the area. Union leaders deny allegations of political manipulations to embark on strike. But are there underhand dealings in all the strikes by labor unions? And PURC orders ECG to immediately rectify all anomalies in prepaid credits purchased by consumers. Will this satisfy agitating consumers? Stay tuned for the next 1 hour as we bring you details of all these stories on our program tonight. You can also join the discussions by text 0266-67757. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana Accra. We are also live on Twin City 94.7 in Takoradi, Sunrise FM 106.7 in Kofodia, and in Radio Upper West 90.1 in Wa. The prayer of well-meaning Ghanaians is that there is total peace across the country to push forward national development effort. It is in this regard that any incident that has the potential to undermine national peace should not be countenanced. The issue becomes dicey when unfortunate incidents like gunshots leading to loss of lives, particularly in areas considered to be conflict-prone. The past few days have seen Boko in the news with some shooting incidents. What has the Regional Security Council done so far to contain the situation? Are the political leaders worried that such incidents can affect their development agenda for the region? We are fortunate tonight to have the Regional Minister, Alhaji Lumina Mohammed Muniru, to share some thoughts with us on the latest development at Boko and his development goal for the region. Good evening, Alhaji Mohammed Muniru, and you are welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good evening, and thank you very much.
What is the current state of Boko after the last shooting incident leading to the loss of two lives and two other shooting incidents leading to serious injuries of two persons?
Yeah, Boko is calm and very peaceful.
Hello?
You want to know the situation of Boko, and I said Boko is very calm and peaceful at the moment.
With regard to the shooting incident, have any arrests been effected as we speak?
Yeah, so far we haven't been able to arrest anybody. There's a young man whose name appeared in the first shooting incident as somebody who was involved in some dealing with his colleagues, and he has submitted himself to the police. So currently, investigations are underway. I mean, the police are carrying on with the investigation, and he's assisting the police to come up with a few things. So we just ask that we allow the security agencies to continue with the investigations. But so far, things are calm, and RegSec is on top of the issues.
Well, you said RegSec is on top of issues, and we understand they met today. What decisions were arrived at the meeting?
Yeah, as yesterday, we had a RegSec meeting, and all we had representatives from the Boko MoSec to give us an update of what was really happening at the ground there. And we have a BFAF, we've intensified both mobile and leg patrols by both the military and the police. And since then, we've not had any incidents again. What we also did was we took a decision and we went to the shooting, where the shooting, the communities that the shooting took happened, and we met with the community leaders and the youth just to appeal to them to allow the security agencies to carry on with their work or investigation. We shouldn't link it to any other thing, so that when we allow the security to come up with their findings, then we will not know the way forward. So we were there today to talk to them, to assess patients and cooperate with the security agencies to investigate into this matter that we see to be purely criminal, but has nothing to do with the ethnic conflict.
In effect, you are saying that the fears that people have that the incident has something to do with the old age Boko conflict is unfounded.
No, no. It's not. It's highly criminal. I mean, we just see it to be highly a criminal issue. That's what we want the security agencies to go into. It's not linked up to any ethnic conflict. And I think we should allow the security people to take that so that the corporates will be disciplined. Sometimes we try to link up these things and allow these criminals to get away with all these crimes that they cause. For now, we've appealed to all residents there to cooperate with the security agencies. We shouldn't jump into any conclusions, and we should just allow them to unravel and get the gunmen, those who did the shooting. Then we can, if they're arrested, they will know how to move from that place. So for now, Boku is very calm, and I think we're the meetings that we had today with all the elders and the youth was very fruitful. We had a very good interaction, and they have assured us of their cooperation, where together with the authorities, they'll be able to unravel some of this incident.
Alaji, since assuming office, is this your first brush with any problem in Boko?
No, the first brush I'll call was in line with the nomination of the municipal chief executive. When the first time they nominated the municipal chief executive, there were some group of youth who resisted, who demonstrated against that decision. And there were a few gunshots into the vehicles of the municipal assembly. But after I met, and I took a trip there, met them at the assembly, and explained issues to them and took them through the procedure that we went through to be able to arrive at the nomination. I think since then they were very calm. I mean, when they understood the processes, they didn't take the laws into their hands again. They were calm. Sometimes it's misinformation. People go and give them, they misinform them and they take up. So when they realized the truth, they were calm. We went through the process of confirmation, which didn't happen. And now we are still in the process of getting fresh nominations to be considered by the assembly again. So that was the first time I think something happened in line with the shooting incidents in Boko since I assumed office. If not, Boko has been very calm and very peaceful.
So how are you and your administration ensuring we do not end up in any mess by these unnecessary shootings by faceless people?
Yeah, that's why we're involving all the stakeholders. You know, sometimes when you do these things and you neglect a few people, or when they have something to complain of and you don't listen to them, they feel cheated. So when we heard that the youth of the community that the shootings took place wanted to have an interaction with us, immediately I had to move there. They called me yesterday. So I went with RecSec after our meeting to interact with them, so that we take the opportunity to explain some of these things to them. So fortunately, we were together, we had a fruitful discussion, and we were able to explain to them not to link this immediately. They should allow the security to. So it's just a matter of making sure that we work within the structures and to sustain the peace. The already existing structures that are already there, that have been able to bring about peace in Boko. We don't just have to neglect them. We still work within the structures and as best as possible involve all the opinion leaders and even the youth. We have to have time to listen to them anytime they have a problem. And anytime you explain to them, they get to, I mean, they understand these issues and the matter goes to rest. So I think we are recognizing and appreciating everybody's contribution. So we bring them on board and we don't just take decision and impose. We judge all with them, and at the end of the day, we agree on the way forward.
Now, let me find out from you how you will overcome problems like the Boko issue to push development in the Upper East to a higher pedestal.
How I will overcome
problems?
That's what I've just told you. that are for the problems in every human endeavor, there will always be problems. It's not only Boko, wherever in Ghana there are problems, so long as they are human beings. So it's just a way of managing human beings. And that's why earlier on told you that you just need to get them involved, make them part of you. Always have discussions with them to see how best they are part. When they see they are also part, they own whatever you take them to. Because without peace, you can never develop. And peace is not any commodity that you can just go to the market and purchase. So you must definitely be working towards obtaining it. So all we have to do is that get the people to be part of the decision making. If you involve them in whatever you are doing and they see themselves be part of it, they own whatever you send to them. So that's the administration that we want to, where we always have to make sure that whatever decision that we're going to take in respect of whether Boko or whatever in the whole of Upper East region, we get the people involved. And at the end of the day, we all own whatever we agreed at a particular time. So it's just a matter of getting them to be part of you, take decisions and move with them. And they'll feel part of you and own it.
So currently, what kind of development projects are you undertaking since you assumed the position of a regional minister?
Apparently, if you come to Upper East region, you realize that most of the road networks here are really very terrible. So I was fortunate the road minister paid he visited the region, and we went around, we took into some of the critical road networks. So he has agreed to support us, and now that I'm speaking, there are a number of roads that have been awarded on contract, especially the main road from Bolga to Boko. And we believe that when the road networks are worked on, that will open up the region. And even we have 3 municipalities within the region, and the road networks in the municipalities do not show that they are even urban. There's nothing urban about those municipalities. And thank God we have been able, as I'm speaking now, we are going through the procurement process to award those internal roads to open up places like Bolgatanga, Navrango, and Boko itself. So the road network is seriously being attacked. Well, there are a lot of feeder roads that have also been approved, are waiting to go through procurement process for us to award for them to open them up. And then we've also looked at issues on job creation. And what we are tackling is that together with the Minister of Trade and Industry, we are trying to see how best the tomato factory can be revamped. And we believe that when we revamp the tomato factory, that will give a lot of work to the youth, the teeming youth, to engage the farmers. And that's another job creation aspect of it that we are looking at. The factory, the meat factory, is something we talked. The last time I had a meeting with some Israeli group, trying to see how best we can get investors to come in. So we've talked to a few of them, and we are waiting to get their response to see how they can also revamp the meat factory. And we believe that if that is done, we can create jobs for them. In terms of the airport, we have already done all the necessary documentation that we think that sometimes the traveling time also discourages investors into a region. So if we're able to open up a place that we can also have an aircraft that can come directly from Accra, our investors will be encouraged to come in. So we've identified a place without all the necessary documentation and submitted to the special task force put together by His Excellency the President to consider it in when they start constructing the airport, the regional airports. We should be the first to be considered because we don't have it. And we are the farthest for now. We do not have anything. So we have done a lot in that direction. When you look at issue of education,
all right.
One thing
we want to thank you for your time with us tonight.
Okay, thank you.
Alhaji Limuna Mohammed Muniri is the Upper West Regional Minister. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana Accra. Behind the News is live on Ura Radio 89.5 in Bolgatanga. National Security Advisor Brigadier General Nunu Mensah has come under a barrage of attacks since his infamous comments about worker strikes last weekend. His attempt to explain his comments on Anakare's radio station has even drawn more accusations of insensitivity against him. He is reported to have accused the opposition of being behind the numerous strikes in order to destabilize the government. But some union leaders believe the National Security Advisor has got it all wrong. Dr. Anthony Simons is the president of UTAG, and he has joined us to tell us if he and his executives have been listening to advice from the NPP on their strike. Good evening, Dr. Kenya. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't know if you listened to the original comments of the National Security Advisor during the inauguration of a school block at the weekend, but he has been attempting an explanation to his original comments, which has not gone down well with some people, like some Labour leaders being politically manipulated. What is your view on that?
Yeah, that is once again unfortunate. This is a person who made this unfortunate or unnecessary statement last Sunday. Instead of him coming out to apologize, he's, you know, rather increasing the tension in the system. I don't think, you know, he's being, how do I call it, you know, a bit sensitive or rational, you know, so far as this issue is concerned. He should simply come out and apologize. Now, for him saying that political parties are behind all these actions we've taken, it's a bit unfortunate once again, because he's undermining our integrity and our ability to read in between lines. I mean, I, for one, I don't know even a single, you know, MPP person's number, let alone have a conversation or Dave influencing me. And I challenge him, if he has any proof, he should come out and publish it. You know, state when and where. I mean, what has taken place? He's the security boss, isn't it? He has access to, you know, tap into our telephone calls, which we believe they do, though. And so many things. He should come out and then let the whole world know. Other than that, then he's being careless.
But, Doc, what goes into your decision to embark on a strike if there are no unseen hands that manipulate your decision to go on these strikes?
You see, what happens is that if we have a problem, I normally, you know, keep those documents, and so I may say, or a member may come out to say that we have this problem. It is about time we, you know, kind of seek address. And so what we will do is that we call a next meeting, table the motion, discuss it, go through our documents, I mean, vis-a-vis communiques that we signed and all other necessary, you know, the documents and agreements here and there. And then we'll look at it. If we have a case, we pursue it. If we don't have a case, we drop it. And NEC is made up of 34 members from all the universities. Every university brings 4 people. Are you saying that everybody who assembles there is an MPP member? I mean, you should give us a break. To me, this is a child talk. It's not serious at all. Any serious brain will not, you know, come out with such a funny, radical statement.
Well, Doc, I remember that the UTAG strike nearly ended in a divided front for the leadership, because the leadership went back to work while the other campuses continued the strike. In that case, can there be political maneuvering to ensure that your front remain fragmented?
I will not subject this to political manipulation. It is rather unfortunate that there were, you know, there are some powers within the universities. I mean, some people who cannot face the authorities. Okay, the authorities, I mean the administration. And so that was actually what happened. You know, an administrator trying to manipulate the system, you know, to favor him. And that is exactly what happened. And you could see that in the Legon issue, they have an American strength of lecturers. That's about 940. And in that meeting, only about 135 or so, you know, came to the meeting. And 92 voted to call it off. But it was wrong in the sense that NEC has taken a decision. you do not subject next decision to voting. You just go and inform. So even the leadership, for the leadership to table next decision and subject it to voting was wrong. So, and then the report I have indicates that those who were there were the administrators, I mean the deans and so on and so forth. Okay, and so there you could see there was a manipulation, but it was not a political. It was the head of the institution. Okay, and so there wasn't any political hand in that. And for him to come out to say that, well, I don't know. He is the security boss. He has the information. Let him bring it out. If he's serious, let him bring it out and publish it in the media. Let the whole world know where and when, what time, what attire we were wearing, and so on and so forth. Other than that, then, to me, he should be even removed as a security advisor, because for instead of him calming down the situation, instead of him, you know, trying to bring all Ghanaians together, he's rather sucking us out of our motherland. He's now bringing political discord into the whole atmosphere. To me, Ghana doesn't deserve such a person's advice.
All right, Doctor, we want to thank you for your time with us tonight and for the clarification. Dr. Anthony Simons is the president of UTAG. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana Accra. Behind the News live on Radio Ghana Accra. Behind the News is also live on Volta, Star 91.1 and 91.3 in Ho, and Radio Savannah 91.2 in Tamale. Let's go to Lily for some stories. The strikes all over the place are masterminded by those who have vowed to make this country ungovernable for the Mahama-led administration. Abdullahi Ngozi says the people of Boko should temper justice with mercy and allow peace to prevail. The municipality needs development. And Monica Kunz again says the Upper East Regional Minister and his deputy are hardworking. We are lucky to have them. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana Accra. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana Accra. Consumers of electricity have been on the neck of the ECG about the rate at which the credit they purchase runs out, affectionately naming the new phenomenon V8 because of the speed at which it drops. To compound the problem is the long queues that consumers have to endure to even get the credit. The chorus of the complaints today forced the Public Utilities Regulatory Commission to direct the ECG to go back to correct all the anomalies associated with the prepaid meters. According to the commission, the issue of retrospective billing and high failure rate of fuses should be corrected before the close of the week. Let's listen to the Executive Secretary of the PURC, Samuel Sapong.
The Commission has received various complaints from consumers of electricity who use the eCash and the BSE prepaid meters in the areas covered by ECG and the newly installed prepaid meters in the areas covered by NETCO in the northern part of Ghana. The ECG and NETCO has been ordered by the Commission to rectify all the problems associated with these meters, especially in the area of retrospective billing or else face the appropriate sanctions as stipulated in law. The PURC find it mostly unacceptable that the accounts of customers of BSE prepaid cash deposits are being credited to the accounts of other consumers during the month of October in the Botiano district in the Great Accra region. The ECG has woefully failed to effectively educate consumers on the characteristics of prepaid meters which have been installed at the premises of consumers, that some of the issues being experienced by consumers. The distribution companies, that is ECG and NETCO, has been ordered to carry out a vigorous educational campaign among both frontline staff and credit vendors to address the post-tariff implementation challenges. The distribution companies, ECG and NETCO, are to deal with challenges identified with retrospective billing on prepayment meters by submitting a plan of action by the close of business Friday, October 25, 2013. The PUS has directed the ECG to investigate the cause of high failure rate of fuses and prepaid meters at the Legon and Kobenya district and come up with findings at the close of work on Friday, October 25, 2013. During our post-tariff implementation monitoring, the PUS identified challenges with the deployment of prepaid meters installed at Botiano and Teshinungwa, among others. The ECG has been directed to address these challenges within a period of 2 weeks.
That was the Executive Secretary of the PURC, Samuel Sapon, and we will be speaking to the ECD. But first, let's go to the phone lines and speak with Franklin Kujo, who is Executive Director of Policy Think Tank Imani Ghana. Hello? Well, it appears we've lost Franklin Kujo on the line. It's Behind the News Live on Radio Ghana. And I understand Eric Asante has joined us on the line. Eric Asante is a public relations officer of the ECG. Good evening, Eric, and you're welcome to the program.
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
Eric, how will you explain to Ghanaians why credits on the prepaid meters run so fast?
Yes, when you say the credits run so fast, are you talking about the current situation or...
Yes, the current situation.
Fine. What is happening currently is that when you buy your credit within the month of October, or if it's the first time you are buying within the month of October, it means that, as I speak to you, if you bought credit today, and today being 22nd, what it means is that you have consumed credit or units or electricity from the month of 1st of the month, that is 1st October, to the 21st on the old tariff. So what happens is that the difference between the old tariff and the new tariff is what is deducted from the units that you go to buy. So that accounts for the similar reduction, the sharp reduction in units that the consumers are experiencing. In fact, this should have taken place automatically when customers go to buy and the tariffs are calculated immediately when they go to buy, so that you don't see the reduction immediately as you buy 100 Ghana cedis and you load and it reduces to, let's say, 40 Ghana or 50 Ghana. But what is happening is that because the effective date given to ECG to implement the tariff was 1st October. So if you had bought some credit within the month of September, which runs into October, and you've not bought for the first time in October, when you go to buy, the difference between what you had used, which was in the old tariff, and the new tariff that you buy is deducted. And that is accounting for those problems we are having. But having said that, let me say that there are genuine problems within the system as we introduce the new tariff. There are certain meters, as already indicated in the soundbite you just played, that there are problems with other meters, which has with respective tariff increases from the month of September, which is not proper, which is an anomaly that ECG has been giving the time up to Friday to adjust and resolve such problems. But there are other ones too that has the genuity of the reduction which customers are experiencing because of the new and old tariff programming which took effect from 1st October.
Mm. So, Eric, does it mean that any time you buy credit, some deduction is made from it? Because a consumer is complaining that he bought 60 Ghana cedis credit, and within 2 days, the credit was finished.
It shouldn't happen that way. When you buy within, what is the first time in October and you're buying? As I've already indicated, the number of days you have spent before coming to the vending station to buy, as compared to the previous month, it is taking only once. That is, when it is from 1st, let's say from 1st to 10th, and you come to buy on the 10th, for the 9 days that you were using the prepaid meter, you were being billed on the old tariff. So once you come to buy, and the amount of money we get from you, you add up to whatever you had on your meter, you will take up the difference between the old tariff and the new tariff, which is loaded on there. And it will not be deducted again, because the effective date was first. So when you come to buy, and we take that amount of money from the number of days that you had used the old tariff, up to the time you visit the vending station and the deduction made. The rest of the days left within the month, you are billed with a new tariff, because the program is such that when you don't visit our vending stations, we don't get to load up information for your meter to start using the new tariff that we have programmed. That is accounting for that system. There is no mechanism that automatically changes the tariff on your meter end. It takes the deduction as the programming or the tariff takes effect. But once you visit us, that is where we get to load up the information for you and we start billing you with a new tariff.
All right, Eric, just hold the line for me. Franklin Kujo is with Imani Ghana and he's joining us. Good evening, Franklin. You're welcome to the program.
Good evening, madam. Good evening.
Franklin, the ECD has come under attack from consumers for all the problems they are encountering with their prepaid meters. Do you have a similar problem?
Well, I don't because I still use the old one, even though it's a newer version because of where I live. I live under the eastern region, and so somehow we are still villagers. We are yet to change our meters to the prepaid ones. But I've noticed that a number of people have complained. And I think the way to go around this is essentially the harmonization of the procurement, procedures. I don't think that it makes a whole lot of, it's not convenient for the ECG to have separate procurement, procedures for the procurement of these, meters. As much as possible, we should have a very decentralized but a uniquely identified system for sourcing these meters so that we know that they are all standardized. I think this is a very easy matter to deal with going forward, but those who clearly have challenges have got to be compensated in one way or the other, and I suspect the ECG has got to figure that out pretty soon.
But does it look like the ECG is short-changing consumers?
Well, this unfortunately is the results of working in the shadows. As you note, this whole idea of changing meters is a long overdue issue, really. I mean, if the ECG had much more transparent processes for dealing with this matter, wouldn't have gotten to where we are. But let's also admit that, again, you are dealing with, gadgets. And gadgets could go quite, there could be problems with gadgets at any point in time. But what doesn't help the ECG is the fact that nobody knew the processes through which they procure this. And given the fact that they've been operating always in the dark, this yet again would be one of the unfortunate results that we have to deal with. But it looks to me the ECG has admitted that their procedures are wrong, and given what we are experiencing, most people are experiencing now, I'm sure they would turn a new leaf.
Now, away from the utilities, it seems we are here to get Imani's position on all the numerous labor agitations going on in the country. Has Imani made a statement on them yet?
Well, it's an interesting question you asked, because everybody thinks that they have an opinion on not just about every issue. The fact of the matter is that most of the issues that confront us are quite straightforward and simple. So to ask us of our opinion on this rather interesting matter, I would say that we haven't issued any statement. We ourselves are quite astonished as to how the events are unfolding. Did I say astonished? No, sorry. We are not astonished at all as to how the events are unfolding. If you recall, just before the elections, we issued a statement clearly sending the warning signals that anybody who took power after the elections was going to face all of these things. And we provided a number of solutions as to how to get out of the hellhole that would engulf us 6 months after the elections. I'm not saying that we always predict doom, but we always won. And when we won, usually people take it with a pinch of salt. Now it is with us. How do we get out of all of this? I think part of the solution lies in us obviously making our own confessions and saying, look, we need help. We need help beyond just changing a few heads and a few legs. We need strategic help, which essentially is to say, what are the nagging issues that face us right now? If it is energy, how are we going to solve it within the time frame? I don't think the shouting and the, you know, the sarcastic words that are going around would help. I also don't think that labor agitations, by the way, right now, would necessarily help the situation. Because, look, if you got 10% wage increment and then you have 80 or so percent stage point for utilities, please, you should also be a bit realistic and realize that somehow you've got a windfall through the single spine. Now, having said this, I have to add a caution that the single spine, probably we all agree, was one of the biggest, if one of the biggest mistakes we actually embarked upon in this country, where we didn't see commensurate work going for commensurate pay, but we did it. The way to get out of all of this, I think, will be a moratorium, and we should all agree, labor should also agree, that there's going to be a moratorium on wages. But at the same time that you are calling for a moratorium on wages so that you figure out how to go about this whole wage thing, you've got to also be at the wheels and manage the economy. I suspect managing the economy, it's a function of the over-centralization of politics. You know, the presidency, I keep saying this, one of the major reasons why it appears everything seems to come to a standstill is because we want solutions to come from the presidency. It doesn't work that way. If you are allowing the presidency to appoint teachers and doctors and what have you, I don't mean physically, but in terms of the fact that the public sector, I mean, the center appoints, recruits teachers, recruits doctors and what have you. I mean, in more organized societies going forward, these things are becoming the roles are being taken up by decentralized bodies. I think when decentralized authorities are given that enormous power with devolution, what happens is that a lot of these of unnecessary, you know, attack at the center is taken away. Why we have the situation where the center holds everything, everybody would like to go to the president when there's a little misunderstanding. So I think we just don't need short-term measures. We need a long-term holistic look at this whole system, presidential system we are running, and the fact that we are giving too much powers at the center. Let the centers, let the districts, let the regions also begin to do recruitment. People will be interested in several remunerations that come in different forms than just money. I think this is a wake-up call. So much as we want to decentralize the single spine regime as we have it right now by taking off a few of the subvented organizations and also making sure that people we link productivity to pay, I think in the long term, in order not to come back to this issue, is to take one big look at the decentralization scheme we have. It is the reason why we are in a mess.
Well, Franklin, but are the employers handling the agitations or strikes in the right manner, since experts believe it is taking a toll on the economy?
Well, I can understand that desperate times cause of desperate measures. Most of the employers, again, I'm sorry to say, have reached their wit's end. And it's a bit difficult for us to understand what is being proposed left, right, center. It appears to me that the only way we can get these things going is for us to, all of us have to understand right now that, look, there isn't much money. We've got to mop up a lot of money in order to deal with some of the issues we are dealing with right now. But where is help going to come from? Except an understanding that things are not the way they are. Things are not the way they are right now. And we've all got to bite the bullet. I would think that one of the major problems with the utilities, essentially, is again politics. I mean, there was no need for the PURC to have waited 2-3 years and lump all of these onto public sector workers. It just didn't make sense. That's why I talk about politics. Because at the end of the day, the only way we can get this thing solved is for us to understand that at some point, we've got to realize that bundling our problems and imposing these problems on the people at the goal wouldn't solve the problem. I think somehow, I feel for the TUC, I feel that organized labor have a real concern that, look, you want to separate, you want to apply this cost in a disparate, in a piecemeal manner, rather than, you know, imposing all of them at the goal.
Well, Franklin, before you take leave of us, let me tease this one from you. Should striking workers be paid whilst they are on strike?
As long as the strikes are illegal, I suspect that they have to be paid. Unless, of course, there's a reason for us to believe that these strikes are illegal, then they shouldn't be paid.
Franklin, we want to thank you for your time with us tonight. Franklin Kudu is with Imani Ghana. And thanks for staying there on the line, Eric.
Yes, that's okay.
As we were discussing on the prepaid meters, could that be a problem with the equipment?
Oh, yes, as Sanglino indicated, with every equipment, definitely you cannot have 100% proof of all the equipment that you bring into the country or you import to the country. There may be one or two problems, or maybe as it is installed, there may be screen offs, there may be one or two problems with the loading of the credit on it or so. But majority of the samples that we've tested at our laboratories to find out whether the prepayments are working well have passed the test of time, and we don't have any cause to suspect that they are inferior products, because when you look at it from the percentage point of view, most of the meters we have installed are working well. Just that with every equipment, you could be ensured that, or you could assure that there will be some amount of problems within the prepayment test we install on the with our customers or on the market.
Again, could there be some truth that we are dealing with meters that are not compatible with our system?
I don't know where this information is coming from. We are installing meters which are compatible with our system because for the time being, or for the period that we've started installing these meters, we've used it, our customers have attested to the fact that they are working well. As I told you, there may be problems, one or two, with some of the meters, because as I speak to you now, we have even installed some outside the premises of customers which have stood the test of time. The weather, the sun shines and it is still working. We have rain that has come in and still the meters are working correctly. As I told you, with every equipment, you can be assured that you would have problems with it. You can't have 100% proof of any system.
Well, the PURC has given your outfits up to the close of the week to correct all these anomalies. Can you assure Ghanaians this is going to happen?
Why not? We are working around the clock to make sure all the grievances that they've got to are full. We'll make sure we deal with them precisely and make sure we give them the best result. And if there is a need to also educate our customers about the problems, as we are doing now on your network, we will do that. It is being done at our customer service centers, all our revenue collection points. We are making sure these problems are being solved. So we can assure our customers that by close of Friday, as the ultimatum states, we will make sure these problems are dealt. Already we have solved almost about 70% of them, and I believe, as I already indicated, there are genuine problems about some of the systems that are operating, and that one it is not proper for people to be deducted twice or being billed from September, while the tariff takes effect on 1st October. But those ones which were not taken care of within the month of October, those are genuine problems. So the people behind the electricity distribution in this country, and we are assuring our customers that they should be rest assured we will solve the problems as they come up.
Now, Mr. Santi, how do you feel when you go through town and you see consumers in long queues struggling to buy credits for their meters?
Yes, this is the situation we find ourselves in at the moment is not something that is a frequent occurrence. You know, I don't feel fine when I see those things. It's not pleasant for the eyes as a worker of ECD or as a public relations officer to see people queuing, not satisfied with certain things. It's definitely no one will be pleased with that sight. But as I speak to you, as I indicated already, it is not something that I'm not caring always, because of this tariff that we have. Changing over from the old tariff to the new tariff, the effect on the prepaid meter is what we are experiencing. And we overcome it. We are sure about that one, definitely, because we have detected the problems. We've had seen the effects on all the various meters we have, and we are on top of the situation. And I believe that come 1st November, as people come to buy, those problems will be solved. Those genuine ones, which we need to give back some credits to our customers where they are not properly billed from September, so we are taking care of that one. So generally, I should be frank with you, it's not a pleasant sight. It's not something that would be pleasing to any worker of ECD to see people queuing and having problems with their meters and all that.
But once
we are on top of the situation, we will deal with it.
Do your vendors at the various points work on weekends?
They do. All our private vendors work on weekends. They work after 2 on Sundays and they work up to 8 o'clock on Saturdays. We would work on Saturdays, but we'll close at 2. But we, because of those issues with our timing, the time we close, we have given opportunities to private vendors to also sell some of our units to our valued customers. So they work on Sundays and work on Saturdays.
Well, with the rates and time which the credit runs out, why doesn't the vendors operate within 24 hours at least, so that we'll have a mechanism where even at night, when your credit runs out, you can go purchase some?
There are a few vending stations that operate, but it's something that we have proposed that we would want to even set up most mobile shelf stations, those four stations that are being operated 24 hours. We would make sure this vendors also get, or this shelf business gets the opportunity to also sell some of our units so that our customers can access units 24/7.
Now we have a text from Mamia Maintema. It says, what accounts for the frequent power outages experienced in Ashaiman, Middle East, and some Tema areas? We are getting a lot of complaints from these areas about power outages. Are we still on power rationing?
Oh, absolutely, we are not on power rationing. The load shedding is long gone. There is enough generation as I speak to you. But what currently is happening is that there may be local problems between the communities that they live or within the district that the ECD operates. When those things happen, I believe the nearest district office should be contacted so that people who are in this problem or who are experiencing this outage could be restored to the normalcy or the supply that they wish to have. So currently we are not on load shedding, but there are local problems. There are distribution problems still in the system. There may be overhead conductor cuts. There may be fuse blown on transformers. There may be transformer bends. There may be other problems. Although now we don't have generation problems, but distribution problems are still pertaining, because overhead conductor cuts may not end the stage. Fuses can get blown. There may be overloaded transformers and all that. So when you get these problems, you contact your nearest district officer. That would be solved.
Eric, we want to thank you for your time with us. Eric Asante is the public relations officer of the ECJ. It's Behind the News Live on Radio Ghana Accra. Now, to our first story, where Klossaga has suspended its nationwide strike with immediate effect. We understand tonight Klossaga has called off its strike. Let's get the details from the first national trustee of Klossaga, Kwame Asamoah Gyumo. Good evening, Sir Asamoah Gyumo, and you're welcome to the program.
Good evening, sister. How are you?
I'm good. Can you confirm to us that your strike is off.
Thank you very much for the opportunity giving me. Let me use this opportunity to thank all your listeners as well as all CLOSAT members for the gallant effort that they put in during our course of the strike. Yes, we reached an agreement. A memorandum of understanding has been signed. So we all the parties, that is between Fair Wages and Salary Commission, the Ministry of Employment and Labor Relationship, Local Government Service Secretariat, and the Chairman Civil Service Council, we're all present, and we reached an agreement that, yes, COSA needs to be paid a top-up. And then previous documents, that is previous reports, the intermissary reports, and then the meetings that have been held over the years on the top-up or premium payment should be used as working documents. Having agreed on that, then we all agreed. However, this meeting was called by the Minister, Employment and Labor Relationship. It was a tripartite meeting. So we have an employers' associations also representing there. So we agree that, yes, having come to consensus, we have to call off the strike. However, CLOSAT itself has not had a press conference because at the time that we signed the MOU, it was too late for us to call to make our press conference. We've had a communique that we shall issue out tomorrow. If the news has broken that we've called it off, we are yet officially to come out with that communique. So yes, it's true. Tomorrow morning, if we're having a press conference and a meeting, and then officially call it off.
So when are your members going back to work?
Any moment from tomorrow when we declare it call off, we call it off, members can start going to work.
Mr. Asamoah Gyumoh, I want to thank you for your time with us tonight.
Thank you very much.
Asamoah Gyumoh is the first national trustee of CLOSAT. It's behind the news. Let's read some of your text messages. And Jensud Rashid in one says, General Nunu Mensah is very right because we recorded 8 solid strikes in Mohammed's 100 days in office. Antonio says, if the kitchen is hot, come out for others. I don't know who he is referring to. And Atajan Inyan Dintra says, I'm disappointed in a security advisor who creates tension in society. And this is where we wrap up for tonight's edition of the program. My producers were Christopher Silu, Bryant Agama, Edmund Tete, Phyllis Kofi, and John Pobi. Franco Usuansa and Hannah Usu Bempa controlled the sounds, and Lily Defo was my summarizer. My name is Agatha Samoah, and you have a lovely night.